This episode is going to knock you off your socks. If you're wondering and feeling uneasy about what to do with this future that we're going through right now, everything from the climate crisis to rising inflation to housing prices and rents that we can't afford anymore, I have got the perfect person to help you navigate these uncertain times. He is a high-performance coach, studied directly under Brendon Burchard, and he is my good friend, mentor, and also a coach of mine. His name is John Russo. Stay tuned. He's going to blow you away. Well, hey there, good looking. Welcome to the Ryan Whedon Show, where we unlock the secrets to living your best life. Don't believe me? Stick around. It'd be much cooler if you did. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I am thrilled to be back here today. I've got one of my old buddies. I don't want to call him old. He's not old. He's basically my age. So if I'm calling him old, I'm calling me old. But he's a friend. He's a kindred spirit. He has been my coach in the past. He was a friend before coach. And then he's a high performance coach for Brendon Burchard, trained under Brendon Burchard. And he's a force to reckon with. Always has the right answer. I met him actually at a Brendon Burchard event. It was called Influencer 2019. We were both in the VIP section. And if you ever get a chance to go to one of these personal power types of sessions or events, make sure you splurge for that extra VIP ticket, because you're going to meet other people that want to level up at a higher level. So I did it, ended up sitting next to John. We became great friends and we're doing projects together, part of masterminds. He is a high performance coach. He's actually in the UK. So he sounds different than me. He sounds a lot smarter than I do just because of the accent, and I love him to death. Welcome to the show, John Russo.
Thank you, Ryan. Always good to spend time with you, my friend, and kindred spirits indeed. You know, we've had such an incredible journey so far, and I know that the best is yet to come. So I'm always grateful to interact with you and super grateful to be on your podcast.
Well, thanks for being here today. And I forgot to mention that you have your own company, Fit for Growth, which is all about personal development, personal growth, but it's based around fitness and mental well-being. And I think that's such a big part of living a rich, extraordinary life. And we talked about our callings and our purpose, and you really helped me to tap into mine, which is to inspire greatness in others. And yours, I don't know if I probably stole a little bit from that. Yours was to liberate greatness in others. So I feel like a lot of us have similar callings, and that's why we find each other at some point in our lives. But I love watching your journey. I love picking your brain, and I would love to hear about how you became a coach and what inspired you to want to liberate greatness in others.
So my purpose for liberating greatness in others, Ryan, really came from a position of pain when I lost my dad in 2004. We lost him to suicide, and he was such an incredible man. Nobody saw that coming. He was someone who served his community, business owner, entrepreneur, gave of everything he had to give, made so many sacrifices for us as a family. And I think just during that time, I realized that so many people get into a dark place and go to the grave with greatness inside of them, that more people needed to have some of the greatness that he had to share. And, I lost my mom to cancer a couple of years after that. And very quickly, my fight became, how do I help people with their mental health and their physical health? My dad had poor mental health. He also had poor physical health. He was overweight, wasn't sleeping well, worked incredibly long hours. So just burnt out. And it became my fight to help people like that not get to that point. And obviously with my mom's cancer, again, physical well-being, we've got one body. You know, we need to learn the strategies, the tools, the tactics on taking care of ourselves so that we can be our best selves, so that we can serve at higher levels. So I always talk about the fact that I exist to serve by liberating greatness. My heart is to serve others, to help others, to inspire, encourage, uplift, liberate your greatness. It was a pleasure supporting you through our coaching program, the opportunity to liberate your greatness, help you go to your next level, and to liberate greatness for all those around me. So that's in a nutshell where the purpose comes from.
And you said the first tragedy with your father came in 2004. So that's what, 18 years ago? 18 years ago? Right?
Yeah, 18 years ago.
So 18 years ago, a lot's happened. 16 years ago, unfortunately, you lost your mom. What were you doing at that time? Were you already in the personal development field, or were you working for corporate UK, whatever you call it? What were you doing at that time?
So I was in South Africa still at that time, and in a corporate environment, working for Procter & Gamble, kind of classic corporate career path, high achiever, set on a fast track to, senior positions, and I was really enjoying it. But realized that when my dad was in a bad place, I thought I was going to go help him in his entrepreneurial business. They had a coffee shop and they had some property, and I thought I'd go support them and help out. And I'd always had a passion for what motivates people, right from school days, university days. I did a lot of personal development myself, a lot of studying, the likes of Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi, and just reading good material that would encourage me and help me on my journey. And I found I was achieving at high levels because of the strategies that I'd learned and that I was applying in my own life. So, really, really inspired by what makes people tick. And what makes people achieve at higher levels than others. And then obviously with the tragedies that I experienced, I thought, okay, well, I need to be a force for good. I need to do more and speak for those that can't speak for themselves. I need to encourage people. I started writing an email called the Monday Motivator, which I sent out, eventually went to a community in 33 countries around the world, before the days of blogs and podcasts. So just loved being able to write something that could potentially inspire someone and make a difference in somebody's life. And that was my initial way of liberating greatness and serving a community around me.
Now, were you already athletic? Was that already part of your life? You said that your father, unfortunately, wasn't very athletic, and that could have also been part of what led to the darkness, because of the mental well-being might not have been there. Were you already, because right now, for those of you that don't know John, he's a Mr. Spartan Race. This guy has more medals on his wall from all of these Spartan races. You've done the sprints to the, what are they, trifectas? No, not the trifecta. That's something different. Is it
yes,
trifecta?
That's right.
Is that right? Yes. So you have all these giant medals on your wall, and you're forcing me to do one, which I'm actually very excited about. Whether or not it's coming up, we're gonna do it. I'm excited. I've been doing my burpees and my pull-ups, and to the point of almost vomiting, but it's so cool to see you. I just wonder if that is something that was in response to these tragedies, or is it something that's always been a part of your life?
So, interesting enough, I grew up doing sports. I got a black belt in karate at age 12. I went on to get a black belt in three different styles of karate, played first team rugby, first team cricket, was a swimmer, water polo, water skiing. So I loved my sports. I always grew up enjoying sports. I never had either my mom or dad as role models as athletes, though, because they just didn't do anything active in that way. And then I think, as life goes and you get married and you start having kids and you get into bad habits, and I very quickly found myself, a few years after my mom had passed away, I found myself overweight and, stressed out and working long hours and thinking, I'm going to go the same way that my dad's going if I don't change something. And I thought, okay, well, you've got a black belt in karate, get a black belt in CrossFit, just do CrossFit. You'll become a black belt quickly. And my first CrossFit lesson, I remember, I think it was about 15 minutes in, I was lying outside the box, on my back, looking up at the sky, and the trainer kind of came over me and she said, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "I'm trying not to die." And she says, "Well, that was just the warm up. Maybe we should do some, private sessions." And I just realized how far off track I had gone with my own well being just because I'd got into bad habits, So I think then also recognizing our habits, the daily routines, the things we do consistently over a period of time, either take us to a place of darkness, or they take us to a place of fully charged, fully vibrant, fully alive. You can conquer anything. And I think when you get to that place, it really does open your minds as to what is possible, and what can you achieve personally? What can you achieve professionally? What can you achieve for your family? How can you take your relationships to the next level? Just opens your mind up to a bigger, better, healthier, happier life.
And now you are using that motivation because you have children that look up to you as a role model, and gosh, just the pressure of being a father or a parent is incredible. I mean, I've got kids, you've got kids, and you start to learn. I know Dean Graziosi, one of our favorite people to listen to. Also, I know that he says all the time, he's like, the person you are in private is the person you really are. And that's just, that always just gives me a kick in the butt when I'm at home and I'm miserable or I'm suffering for some reason. And then I turn the camera on. I'm like, hey guys, Ryan Whedon here. My wife will be like, you are full of crap right now. And she calls me out on it. And she's like, you need to be the same person that you are to them that you are here at home. And I feel like a lot of us live this filtered life where we're showing ourselves publicly in one way. We're happy, we're perfect, but we're privately suffering to some extent. So we have to find ways to be well at home, maintain our mental health, maintain our physical well-being, and be joyous and be energetic as opposed to just showing up and giving it to everybody else, but not to who really deserves it the most.
Absolutely. You know, and Stephen Covey spoke about how private victories precede public victories. So what happens in your private life impacts everything else. And it's the most important place. I mean, why do we do what we do? It's to provide for our families, to create a life for them, to create opportunities for them. And, you know, anybody that pretends they don't have challenges on a daily basis, you know, either has it very lucky or they're lying to themselves. And I think it's so important that we are real about where we are. You can't fix what you don't face. So you have to be real about where are you now? What's the current reality? And give yourself some grace. It is what it is, but it's not what it seems. So how do you then take the next step to course correct and, you know, start putting better habits in place? What's the next best decision that you can make, whatever situation you're in? And I think if we're able to be real about where we are, open, and we get support and encouragement from, you know, friends like you, other friends around us, coaches, perspective is always really, really important. That enables us to move the needle forward. A large reason around why I'm so passionate about Spartan racing is it's all about obstacles. You know, there's crazy trail runs. The last event that I did was a Spartan Beast. So that's the half marathon event. It was in Wales in what they call the Brecon Beacon. So very, very steep hills. It was about 3,000 plus foot elevation. So about just over 1,000 meters elevation gain. And 24 kilometers, 32 obstacles. And what I love about the concept of obstacle course racing is every obstacle you face has some sort of a technique on how do you get over, under, around, or through the obstacle. Even the heavy pulls or carries or swings, there's a technique. And I teach my kids that as well. It's why I enjoy them doing the Spartan Kids races is they get an obstacle and they think, okay, well, how do I get over, under, around, or through it? To equip them with that sort of mindset and to apply it in life as well, whatever challenge comes their way, they're going to be looking for strategies rather than thinking, I've got an obstacle, I don't know how to do this, I'm out. And that's what I want them to learn is find the strategy, get some insight, get some coaching, figure out how to get over, under, around, or through it, and you'll find a way through.
That's what I think is cool about your take on Spartan races, and I think just Spartan races in general, and I maybe Tough Mudders are like it too, but these races, they're not about just like finishing them, you know? It's about like, okay, yes, maybe the first time you do it, since you've never done it before, it's like, yeah, let's get through it. But there's so much more than just getting through it because you do it over and over again to try to get better and to get better and to get faster. And I assume you want to, at some point, get through it and crush it and just say like, I crushed that race. I got a personal best, kind of like you're running an actual, just a race, whether it's a 5K, 10K, half marathon, as opposed to just like doing it once and getting over it and just being like, yeah, I did that one time. It was crazy. Be like, yeah, I did it 12 times and I hit my personal best here. And I learned how to do this particular obstacle better and faster and stronger. And not only did I crush it, I felt great at the end of it. And I slammed 12 beers.
Exactly right. So I'm unlikely to slam the 12 beers. I might have one beer or maybe two afterwards, but I love your approach to it as well, Ryan. And that's exactly right. You know, is you want to get better every single race, and you know you've got to do the hill training beforehand. You got to make sure that you're doing your burpees, as you spoke about earlier, burpees and your pull-ups, and you're building upper body strength, you're building running stamina, and you're learning the techniques. You know, so often obstacles that I've failed in the past, I get excited about when I get to those obstacles and I've learned a new technique that I can try out on the obstacle. And if it works, I celebrate that. If it doesn't work, I say, okay, back to the drawing board. I need to figure something out. I need to go back and practice that a little bit more. So, I think it's just, you know, you're always competing against yourself. And in an environment like that, what I love about the Spartan philosophy is really to help each other out as well. So, you know, I'll be running alongside people, just encouraging them. They'll be encouraging me. It's just great sense of community as well, which I think is also something that to take into real life, you know, that we don't necessarily need to always be competing against others. How do we help others on the journey with us to overcome their obstacles? I'm always celebrating the start line as much as I celebrate the finish line, because I know at the start line, everybody at the start line has had to overcome a number of obstacles just to get there, just to arrive at the start line, getting up, doing the training, figuring out how to juggle family, work, training, career, etc. And just to get there, they've all got a story. Everybody's got a story to tell.
It's a lot harder when you get older with the rise of responsibilities and the age setting in. It's not as easy to keep that weight off. It's not as easy to stay in shape. And like you're saying, yeah, with jobs, with kids, with responsibilities, it's not like you just are part of a team, a soccer team or rugby team, whatever it is, because you're young and you just got nothing else to do and you're having a great time doing it.
Yeah.
Here it's like, okay, you really have to carve time out every single day, every single week, every single month, and plan. You can't just, I like the way I used to train for races for, I think a half marathon, I trained for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks in just before, you know, and I finished it. I was really hurting, but I mean, it didn't take a lot of training for me at that younger age to actually complete it. If I try to do that now, I probably wouldn't be able to walk for a month, you know, because of the pain and I probably wouldn't even finish. Yeah. I mean, frankly, if I hadn't trained and built my endurance up to be able to complete it. But I just think it's very cool. Switching gears here, another thing I learned about you, and I've known this, but I guess we spoke maybe a couple of months ago on this, and you talk about you're musically inclined as well. The more I learn about you, the more you are just like an achiever in a bunch of different areas, and I feel like we also share that, where I don't know if you just get bored quickly like I do, and you just want to try new things, or you want to build up as many skills as you can because you don't know what you're going to want to do at any given time. But I think having that synergy between being super athletic but also being musically inclined, it's almost like the yin and yang. Mm. It's like the softness and the hardness, you know. It's like you're but then you're breaking the song.
Breaking into song, absolutely. Well, I mean, you and I have had wonderful chats about when you sit down and you play guitar and you're singing and you're figuring out a song and what that does for your heart and your soul, you know, and just to be able to like de-stress, charge your batteries up as well. And I think music takes us to a place where words don't necessarily have meaning and you can connect at a whole different level. So from a very young age, I remember singing, you know, I think it was Baba Black Sheep at age 3 on a table in a restaurant was my first song. But all the kind of school players growing up started to learn how to play guitar in my final year of school, took that into university, played in a two-piece band, played in a Broadway musical in Cape Town, and then sang around South Africa, sang around the UK. And now it's just more of a hobby than anything else. I recorded an album of big band songs, Frank Sinatra, Bobby Darin, Dean Martin, those sort of awesome big band songs. And just love it. You know, I think it's just such a great thing to be able to do. Still sing in a worship team every 3 weeks. So, yeah, just love the singing, love the playing, and definitely something that we share.
That's amazing. You got to show more of that side of yourself on Instagram, because most of your Instagram, although very inspiring, it's a lot of it, you're running and you're taking things while you're running. And I do the same thing, because it's just like you're inspired. If you get sweaty and jacked up from a run, you're like, this is a perfect time to take a selfie or a video and say something positive. I think the same with me. I need to do more of my music as well. I need to put it out there as well. But it's such a, as you're saying, a spiritual avenue that we go down with music that we just get lost in it. And I think it's part of that should be private, you know, because it is very special.
Yeah, I think it's such a good thing to recognize as well, Ryan, is how do we share more of that with people, you know, and it doesn't need to necessarily be at a particular level. It's just about encouraging people to be their best selves, to tap into things that help them recharge, that re-energize, that help them connect with themselves, with their spirits, help them communicate in a different level. So I'm going to take that as a challenge, and look, I will let you know when I've got something to post on Instagram.
Awesome. I'll do the same. Cool. Now, moving into something I really want to talk about, and you're the perfect person to talk about this with, and we talked about it a little bit before we started. There is so much craziness in the world right now, so much uncertainty with, no matter where you live, whether you're in the US or the UK, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're in, you're experiencing something. We've got rising costs, the cost of living, governments are doing their own thing, and we don't really have a lot of power except for what we can control. And a lot of that is really just our own minds and our own thoughts. But it's so hard to keep that darkness at bay and stay positive and stay inspired. For those that are listening now, I would love to hear from a high performance coach, what are some ways that we can maintain our mental and physical well-being in an ever-changing world?
I think there is so much changing right now, Ryan, and you know, it's one of those constants. You know, we're going to experience change, and we're going to have curveball after curveball after curveball thrown at us. And we've really got two choices to make in a change environment. Is when there's change happening to us, that's not necessarily change that we control. So the choice is, what do you do with the things that you can't control? How do you respond to those as opposed to reacting? And the chosen response is to recognize, okay, well, those are things that are happening to me. I can't control those. What can I control? What change can I control? And I think the second we have that awareness of there are things that I can control, already then we start shifting forward. So awareness is the first thing on what's one positive thing that I can say? What's one positive thing that I can do? Okay, our thoughts become words, become things. So you can control your thoughts, your words, your actions. I think the second we do that, we start moving into change. And then you do one positive thing that leads to the next positive thing that leads to the next positive thing. And you start stacking up these positive gains and moving the needle forward. And sometimes the positive thing is just reaching out to a friend to say, hey, I'm struggling today. Can you encourage me? Can you brainstorm some ideas with me? I literally had a call recently where I was feeling a bit overwhelmed. Lots going on. Got some great corporate clients that I'm working with, big international global brands. And there's just a ton of work. And I lacked clarity on what do we prioritize, what do we work on first. Just having the conversation with one of my partners in the US helped me get some clarity. He encouraged me. He said, we're on the right path. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to delegate these things. So I always just want to encourage my clients to ask the question, when you feel that negative feeling, when you feel that negative emotion, don't dismiss it. Feel it. Validate it. Say it is. I feel it. I see it. But don't go down a negative spiral, because if you allow that negative emotion to get to you, you very quickly become deflated, discouraged, demoralized, and potentially depressed. I want you to feel that feeling, catch it, and say, I see you negative thoughts. I see you negative emotion. I know that this could potentially go down a negative spiral. Instead of letting that happen, what's one positive thing that I can say? What's one positive thing that I can do? And then take positive action. And that creates a positive upward spiral.
I can't remember where I heard this from. It was either maybe Brendan Burchard or Dr. Amen. Remember, you know who the guy?
Dr. Amen, yeah.
Dr. Amen, he's a brain doctor. He's just a brain well-being guy. Super, super, super smart. Guy's super smart. I think it might have been him talking about that. Like, when we have these spikes in cortisol, stress, when the stresses are through the roof, it takes hours, sometimes even days, for it to re-regulate itself. You know, because it will regulate itself, but just even just like 60 seconds of a spiked cortisol, it takes a lot of time to get back to that level playing field where you actually feel like yourself again. So it's like that's another reason to really keep stress as far away from ourselves as possible, and instead of being reactionary, being more proactive in the way we respond to stimuli, respond to things that are coming at us. I remember you talked about Stephen Covey. I loved his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Yeah, like I love this book with the words that one. Yeah,
the seven but, things. You got it right there.
The seven things. Yeah, I remember them clearly. No, yeah. But he shows like the Venn diagrams, or maybe not the Venn diagram, but he's like, this is your circle of influence, and you know, we have this like little circle of influence here, and then this giant overarching circle around it is in that area from our circle of influence to the outside edges of the of what we can't control. It's huge. There's so much that we can't control. Mm. But a lot of us live in that area that we can't control. And instead, and that's what's really causing all the stress, because we can't control it, but we live in that unknown without any control, and we're never going to feel good about it. You know, so we need to go back to that, like you had said, and realize what we can control and focus on that. And most of that is just right in our own skulls, you know, and in our own souls.
Totally.
And we have to find and surrender to that.
Yeah, totally. You know, it's what's often referred to as an internal locus of control versus an external locus of control. So if you have an external locus of control, you're pointing fingers at all the external forces. You're saying it's the economy. It's because of what the government's just said. It's because, you know, somebody screwed me over, or, you know, you just blame, as opposed to taking responsibility and saying, you know what, if it's going to change, it's up to me. I need to level up. I need to step forward and take charge of the situation. And, you know, you see it time and time again. I was fortunate enough to go to Wimbledon this past week. And, you know, just so good. Went with Delia and my wife, and we had an amazing time. We saw, you know, one of the ladies that ended up winning the ladies' event. And I remember watching one of the gentlemen's games, the guy's singles games. And there was a particular player who kept shouting at his box of trainers and saying, why aren't you shouting loud enough? You know, why aren't you encouraging me? Every time he messed up, he was blaming his trainers. He was blaming his supporters, as opposed to getting focused and saying, right, next shot, get in the zone, focus. So he lost the match in his head before he lost the match on the court. And you look at the other player who was so composed, would have some winners, would have some, you know, mistakes and faults, but he would kind of just, you know, shake it off and get focused again. And I think that will determine whether you win in life or not. If you're going to blame everybody else around you, you're not going to win. And if you take control, and if you focus, if you get inspired, if you do the work, if you're laser focused and move in the right direction, you're going to win.
That's amazing. Well, I'm excited, man. You're trying to get your visa ready to come from the UK now to the US to do our Spartan race. But you know, if we have to push it, that's fine. I won't get mad at you, even though I've been training my butt off. No, I'm kidding. But but in a couple months, we've got the hero retreat and the hero experience. And you've been a part of that in the past, and you're just been such an inspiring figure in our hero events. Tell me a bit about what do you think about Hero as an event itself? I know it's mostly for hairdressers, but we invite people from outside of the industry into it just to show that like inspiration is everywhere. And sometimes it's important for us within certain industries to look outside into other industries and see what other successful people are doing, bring it into our own world and find ways to take these exponential leaps towards success and to shorten our own path to our dreams and to our goals, where we want to go. What does Hero mean to you?
Ryan, yeah, I think I'm reflecting so fondly on the past Hero events and just thinking about the generosity from you, from the speakers, the love, the support, the encouragement, the inspiration, the quality of the value that is delivered by each and every speaker at Hero has always been phenomenal. So I'm excited for everybody that chooses to attend, because I know the journey that they're about to go on. I know the input that they're going to get, and they will accelerate their journey. They will fast track their results by listening to and embracing principles that are taught by people that have gone before them, that have made the mistakes, that have figured out the strategies, that have learned by testing and learning and failing and iterating and succeeding along the way. That's everything that Hero has to offer. You know, I think we also celebrate each and every person as a hero, recognizing that everybody's got their struggle. And, you know, for people that are out there trying to make their businesses work, trying to provide, trying to serve behind the chair, whether you're a salon owner or a stylist or, you know, anybody from outside the hair industry as well, if you're doing the best that you can to provide for yourself and for your family and you're succeeding day by day, you're a hero, you know, and we got to recognize it for people. So people will walk away from Hero feeling focused. They'll feel inspired. They'll feel uplifted. They'll feel part of a community, and they will definitely have some incredible new strategies and tangible tactics that they can go and implement in their lives straight away to go to their next level personally and professionally.
And I think we want people to have the same feeling walking away from it that we've had walking away from other events, from other thought leaders like Tony Robbins, like Brendon Burchard, whoever else you may have seen live or virtually. Mm-hmm. You walk away with a new lease on life. You're ready to take charge, take ownership of your actions, responsibility for your life and for your own success. And there's no power greater than inspiration backed by strategy, because it's not just like a rah-rah event where you get all pumped up and then by the time it's done, you're like, okay, now what? You'll know what to do. You'll know where to go. You'll feel like you've tapped into something that you didn't even know existed inside of you. And that's what I love about it. Mm. And you better get your butt here.
Listen, I'm so focused on doing that. I'm going to beg and plead when I have my interviews, my visa appointments. That comes back to the inspiring greatness, your purpose, my purpose of liberating greatness. That's what we want to do, Ryan, is we want to spark something inside of people, help them unlock that, help them get some initial momentum. You know, I think it's good for people to recognize as well that when opportunity knocks, work is what answers. You know, so you've got to do the work. You've got to focus, do the work, and that's how you succeed. But doing the work with the right strategies gives you that accelerated journey, and that's what we're looking to do for people: is inspire their greatness, liberate their greatness, and help them on their journey.
I love it, man. Thank you so much for being here today, John. I love you like a brother, and I can't wait to see you in person. Next time we do a video call, whatever it is, I can't wait for the great news you're going to come back with in a couple of days from your appointment. If you need to, phone a friend or something, I'll be available. You know, if you want to, you need to prove you have friends in the U.S., I'll jump on that line for you.
Thank you. I've already got your address down as my point of contact in the US.
So. Awesome.
Thanks, Ryan. I love you too, brother. It's been special as always connecting with you and grateful to be on the podcast with you. So appreciate all you do to serve your community as well.
Back at you, buddy. And until next time, everyone, love fiercely, grow purposefully, and share your passion with the world. You are here for a reason, my friends, and you deserve to live an extraordinary life. Thank you so, so much for listening. Do me a favor. If you loved this episode, please share it on social. Take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram or Facebook at ryan.weeden so I can share it with my platform of over 1 million people in the community to see. Love you so much. Let's spread the love and inspiration together. Remember, love fiercely, grow purposefully, and share passionately. See you soon.